Mexican migrant workers are among the most vulnerable groups with regards to HIV in New York City. Most Mexicans come from the state of Puebla, which is next to Mexico City. So you can see it's going slower than what we expected. Most Mexicans come through three routes to New York City, usually crossing the border. Most of them cross the border walking or driving. A few of them fly. In New York City, we have seen a really high increase in the number of Mexicans over the past 10 years. It's the fastest growing ethnic group in the city. Actually, the estimate that sociologists do is around 300,000. So these numbers in the census are underestimated. Most of them are men. Most of them are migrant workers, are labor migration. And they're coming to a context of high levels of HIV. New York City is the second city in terms of AIDS cases nationwide, second to Miami. Also, the question for us then is, how does this transition into a new context affect their risk, their sexual risk? It's not only New York City, a hot epidemic center of HIV, but also is hot in other senses. It has many mega cities. It's a new sexual market. There are multiple forms of sexuality, multiple kinds of people that you see in cities like New York. So to give you a sense of that, I'm going to jump quickly to one of the findings. These are the types of, these are not the actual people who they have sex with. They wish. But our group, we have 50 men, and 4 out of 50 had sex with more than 10 partners since their arrival in New York City, but also with women from multiple ethnicities. Then 33 out of 50 had sex with between 1 and 9 women, mostly from 2 ethnicities, Mexican and Puerto Rican. And then 2 out of 50 had sex with men. And 11 out of the 50 didn't have sex at all with someone else since they arrived in New York City. So this is a new sexual market. This is a new context in terms of HIV risk, but also in terms of sexuality. So what we're trying to understand is, how does this context affect... Sorry, the slice is not moving. Our research question is, how does the context of the migration experience affect the sexual practices? And we divided the sexual practices into, we want to focus on sexual risk. So we want to try to understand what this line is about, and also based on research that has been conducted prior to this project, it was clear that loneliness was a factor playing a role in sexual risk among migrant workers. And this comes out, one of the major studies is Jennifer Hirsch study in Atlanta. So we conducted a study that consisted of ethnographic observations of social spaces of Mexican migrant worker men. So we observe where they socialize. We also observe where they work pickup places where they can pick up during the day. And from there, we kind of snowball all other places to observe. And we did that for 12 months. We also conducted 50 structured interviews. We examined their migration history, their sexual behaviors since they arrived, and also in Mexico, right before they arrived. We included two psychometric scales. One of them is called the Amore scale, which measures motivations for sex. The second one measures, loneliness, and it's the UCLA loneliness scale. Our criteria for these 50 men were they have to have a wife or living with a girlfriend before they left Mexico, but they came alone. because we really want to understand that transition, they had to be 16 and older, and but they also have to be here without their parents. Okay, so these are independent adults. So I'm going to show you two quick findings in terms of the quantitative question. What we found was that men who view sex as a stress relief also have a higher likelihood of engaging in risky behavior, in sexual risk behavior. We found that, contrary to our hypothesis, we thought that men who see sex as a power enhancer, we don't use these phrases, I'm summarizing scales, was not related to sexual risk. We hypothesized that it was, but it wasn't. The second set of findings have to do with loneliness. The highest the loneliness, the highest the sexual risk, as we predicted. But also an interesting finding that we don't know exactly the direction of this is the association between higher levels of loneliness and higher perception of sex as a power enhancer or feeling powerful. So this is kind of the overall model. This is a sample of 50, so it's an exploratory study. We need to do this again to try to examine all the variables in this model. In terms of our qualitative questions, we were also interested in how context not only create risk, but also are there factors in the context that help buffer situations of loneliness and sexual risk. So we focus on loneliness, and we found two places where loneliness was a factor. The church. The Catholic Church play a major role in helping these men deal with loneliness. They go to church, they see other Mexicans, they see families, they see it's a warm environment. They also get a chance to practice their customs and feeling that they belong someplace. Now, of course, when we talk about Catholic Church in terms of sexuality, this could also have other implications, and we can talk more about that in the discussion session. The second place is the Dollar Dance Bar. And the men who went to the Catholic Church also go to the Dollar Dance Bar. These are not two subsamples. These are all the same. And what is this? Many of you probably were there last night, but maybe haven't been there. It's just a place you pay money, a couple of dollars, for a dance. That person dances with you. This is not a strip bar, or there's no nakedness there. It's just dancing. Supposedly there are 69 beautiful dancers. They're not 69 beautiful dancers. We count them. And no. And none of them look like these two people here. They're very nice people. And in this place, which what might look like a very sexualized space, actually had a strong promotion about decency and a safe place to be. During the World Cup, this is the time that we're doing ethnographic observations, the dancers didn't earn any money because most of the men were watching the games, even though they were there. So it was like in a high school, all the girls in one side, all the boys in another side. And we had a lot of interesting typology of the types of men within the space, those that drink and just watch, those that just pay to talk, and those that pay to talk and dance. And again, this is a space that serves as camaraderie, to see other nationals. The major problem from a public health perspective is the drinking. So a lot of drinking happens here, and a lot of sex work happens outside these clubs in this geography around this area. So, wow, I'm going really fast. Because I'm also in my conclusions now. Loneliness. Loneliness is a common experience. All of us have experienced loneliness in one way or another in our lives. The literature highlights that in some particular populations or in some particular period in your life, loneliness has a larger impact in your health than in others. So for example, when you're going through the teenage years, loneliness has a really a big token on your health and your behaviors. In a way similar to migrant workers who are going through a transition, who are adapting, who are, in this particular case, even though Mexicans are number one in the chart that Tiffany shows you, in New York City, Mexicans are a minority within a minority. They occupy the lowest position in the hierarchy of the workplace, and they get discriminated as any new migrant group gets discriminated. So this is not necessarily unique from a sociological perspective. Every time you see the new migrant group, you see the same kinds of harassment from the dominant minority group. So loneliness is a health problem in itself, and we should pay attention to it just for the sake of public health. This is independent of HIV. We hypothesize that there are two paths between loneliness and sexual risk. One is loneliness out of indifference, that this is just part of a larger set of feelings and emotions about feeling indifferent about health, and therefore they engage in risky behavior. Also, loneliness can link to sexual risk in an instrumental way. Most of the men who have high levels of loneliness, they meet a low number of partners, but they engage in higher risky behavior. So there might be an aspect of sensation seeking, of taking advantage. This is one of the few times I get to have sex, let me just do as much as I can. So, but these are hypotheses. We need to go back and test these hypotheses. If one of the lessons learned is that if we're trying to get these men, for example, to use condoms, perhaps what we need to focus is on loneliness. What we need to create is programs that actually take into account building social relations between these men so that they feel that they belong. And as we said, the church, the Catholic Church, could be ideal, but it has its problem with regards to condoms. And the Dollars Dance Club can be a good place, but again, they make their money out of the alcohol sales. So these are problems that we're still dealing, and I want to thank you. I thank my team and Jennifer Hirsch, which is the faculty mentor who sponsored this minority supplement from NICHD. Thank you.